This is the English service of Ukrainian radio.
This is the English service of Ukrainian radio. Next in line is the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The situation remains tense in the war-torn areas of Donetsk and Luhansk regions in eastern Ukraine. Russia-backed forces continue violating the Minsk agreements, using heavy weapons and causing casualties among Ukrainian servicemen. Over the past week, the number of enemy strikes gradually increased, according to reports by the Operation Headquarters Press Center. The enemy fire has been the most intense in the areas south and southwest of Luhansk, north and west of Donetsk, and northeast of Mariupol. By the middle of the week, the area north of Donetsk in particular has seen an upsurge of military action. The OSCE Special Monitoring Mission has also recorded an increase in military activity in the conflict zone. On Friday, Principal Deputy Chief Monitor of the OSCE SMM has briefed reporters via Skype from the Donbas region.
There is an established correlation between violence and especially upsurges in violence and the failure to withdraw weapons and disengage. In addition to the presence of proscribed heavy weapons and the proximity of armed forces and formations, it is clear that violence continues because those who are committing it are allowed to do so. They are not held to account. Compliance with the Minsk agreements is the responsibility of the sides. The sides must ensure what they have agreed to do is carried out. They must comply. They must bridge the gap between commitment and reality. Making Minsk a reality, making the ceasefire a reality, requires accountability.
Alexander Hug. He also spoke about threats the SMM monitoring officers have been facing from the side of the militants, namely in the self-proclaimed DPR. The mission's unmanned aerial vehicles have also been targeted, which was qualified as deliberate attempts to prevent the mission carrying out its mandate. Peace talks regarding the conflict in eastern Ukraine are of major importance at this year's Munich Security Conference that has kicked off on Friday. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin commented on conflict resolution in Munich on Friday, saying that two projects were underway to bring peace to Donbas, the American project and the Normandy format.
You're listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Monday, the 12th of February, marked 3 years of the Minsk II agreements. The first variant of the Minsk agreements was signed on the 5th of September 2014, at the peak of the armed conflict between Ukraine and the self-proclaimed republics in its Donbas region, calling on the sides to stop the clashes. But it failed to guarantee real progress in resolving the conflict. The Minsk II agreements, signed by Ukraine, Russia and representatives of the self-proclaimed Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republic on the 12th of February 2015, once again called for an immediate ceasefire and the withdrawal of heavy weaponry. The document was supposed to pave the way for political regulation. Ukraine was expected to carry out constitutional reforms that would strengthen the special status of Donetsk and Luhansk. Afterwards, the republics were to hold elections and Ukraine would re-establish control over its border with Russia. According to Ukrainian experts, the progress of the Minsk II, the key agreement that was supposed to put end to the war in Donbas, has so far been minimal. While the original text of accord stipulated an immediate and full ceasefire in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions of Ukraine starting from the 15th of February 2015, skirmishes and occasional heavy artillery exchanges are still taking place. In 2017, there have been at least six attempts to negotiate a truce linked to a specific time of year. The beginning of the harvest season or the school year have been used to time such attempts. Each of those ceasefires, however, could not hold more than several hours. Truce initiatives are often negotiated at a high level. However, political support doesn't help much to improve the security situation on the ground. One of the main reasons is that the independent monitoring of the ceasefire violations is still far from perfect. The OSCE Special Monitoring Mission observers do not have direct access to many areas under separatist control. What's more important, Russia keeps supporting separatists in Donbass and fueling the conflict. The Minsk II was an attempt of Vladimir Putin to expand his influence on the situation in Ukraine, believes Ukrainian expert Oleksandr Hara.
Абсолютно зрозуміло, що Росії не потрібна частина Донбасу, а потрібен контроль над Росією і Україною. Досягнення миру.
It's absolutely clear that Russia wants more than control over the part of Donbas. It wants to stretch its power over the whole Ukraine. Striving for peace on behalf of Ukraine is an attempt to stop the aggression on its own territory. The Minsk agreements cannot be fulfilled until we turn to the essence of the conflict. The conflict in Donbass is only part of the problem. This aggression started with the Crimea annexation and later spread to Donbass. This problem should be solved as a whole, said Oleksandr Hara. Russia didn't fulfill any of the points of the Minsk agreement during 3 years, and it needs the destabilization of Ukraine, as the spokesperson of the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry said on Tuesday. In such a way, Ukrainian diplomats responded to an earlier statement by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, who claimed that the adoption of the Donbas reintegration law in Ukraine would be a move towards scrapping the Minsk agreements. The range of measures on the fulfillment of the Minsk agreement was signed on the 12th of February 2015, but any point of it was fulfilled. Russia needs war and destabilization of Ukraine, said Mariana Betsa, the spokesperson of the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary.
Mikhail Saakashvili, former Georgian president and oppositional political leader in Ukraine, has been detained by the special forces in a Kyiv restaurant on Monday and sent to Poland. Having been stripped of Ukrainian citizenship by President Poroshenko in July last year, which he had been granted in 2015 following the invitation to govern the Odessa region, Mikhail Saakashvili has gained popular support through campaigning overtly against the president in office. In September 2017, Saakashvili had arrived to Ukraine eluding border crossing procedure with the help of his supporters, who were mobilized at the Polish-Ukrainian border. Having returned to Poland, Saakashvili had made several statements, saying his detention was illegal and that he would fight till the end to save Ukraine from corruption. Ukrainian State Border Service official Oleg Slobodan had commented on the formal reason for Saakashvili's banishment.
Оскільки даний громадянин перебував на території держави незаконно з дотриманням усіх юридичних формальностей.
This citizen's stay in Ukrainian territory was illegal. Thus, observing all legal formalities, he was returned to the country from which he had illegally arrived. There hasn't been any violations of procedure. The representatives of State Border Service had been attacked by people from his entourage after presenting him the ban to cross the border in the first place. Accordingly, the service had to use force to not let this happen again, said Oleg Slobodan. On his return back in September, in the backdrop of anti-Poroshenko protests, Saakashvili had initiated a series of court cases against the state. While the Ukrainian authorities accused Saakashvili of abetting a criminal group led by former President Viktor Yanukovych and claimed the protests under Saakashvili's name were part of a Russian plot against the current government. Prosecutor General's office commented on the events on Tuesday, saying Saakashvili was about to testify in court in the case of Maidan shooting and that his banishment impeded the investigation. This was said by head of Special Investigations Department Sergei Gorbatyuk. Saakashvili's lawyer, Ruslan Chornolutsky, told the media a complaint had been filed to the European Court of Human Rights concerning the procedure of the politician's readmission to the EU, reported Union News Agency. The ombudsperson of Ukraine, Valeria Lutkovska, had said an investigation was underway on whether the rights of the stateless politician had been breached during his expulsion from Ukraine. In a restrained reaction, the EU commented in a statement by the press service of its delegation to Ukraine that it would continue to monitor the updates on the matter. Saakashvili himself arrived in the Netherlands, his wife's home country, on Wednesday the 14th. Later he wrote on his Facebook page about receiving an ID card upon his arrival to Amsterdam that allows to live and work in the EU. And yet he said he was, quote, decisively intent, unquote, on restoring his Ukrainian citizenship.
You're listening to the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week. The well-known Berlinale Film Festival kicked off in Germany on the 15th of February. Within 10 days, almost 400 films from around the world will be shown there. The main program includes 24 films, 19 of them will compete for the main awards of the festival, Golden and Silver Bears. These are films from the USA, France, Germany, Italy, the Philippines, Bulgaria, and the movie from Russia about the writer Sergei Dovlatov. Ukraine will present the film When the Trees Fall, directed by Marisa Nikityuk. For the writer and director Marisa Nikityuk, her movie When the Trees Fall will become a full-length debut in the cinematography. It will be presented on the 20th of February. The film has been included to one of the main sections of the Panorama Berlinale Festival, which was founded as the platform for courageous films that expand the boundaries of meaning and visual aesthetics. Previously, Kira Muratova's films Secondary People and The Letter to America were shown in this section as well. Marisa Nikityuk, director of the film, will tell about the genre of her film.
Це безумовно драма. Вона з різними елементами і трохи трагічними, і комедійними. Це авторське кіно.
This is a drama. There are tragic and comic elements. This is an independent cinema. We define it as a drama of adulting. There is a transition from a teenager to a grown-up in the movie's focus. It's about internal freedom, desire to follow your inner call. It goes along with my inner experience. It was difficult for me to enter the cinematography because I do not have a professional background. But when you really want something, you have to make mistakes and go ahead, said Marisa Nikityuk. When the Trees Fall was made jointly with Poland and Macedonia. In autumn, the film is scheduled to be released in Ukraine. In May 2016, the script for the movie received the award of the best scenario of the Central and Eastern Europe at the Cannes Film Festival.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary. On the 15th of February, Ukraine commemorated those who fought in the territory of foreign countries. The same day, 29 years ago, the last unit of the Soviet troops was withdrawn from Afghanistan. According to historians, more than 160,000 Ukrainian citizens fought in Afghanistan. More than 3,000 Ukrainian soldiers and officers were killed. To date, dozens are missing. Many soldiers who were released from captivity went abroad because, as former soldiers recall,
released prisoners were persecuted in the Soviet Union. They were treated as traitors. Today, Ukrainians also remember those servicemen who performed their duty in other hotspots of the world. Major General Volodymyr Lyshavsky, soldier of the Afghan War, will tell more.
Наша держава является членом Организации Объединенных Наций. Тому рішення Організації Об'єднаних Націй щодо участі.
Our country is a member of the UN. So the UN decision on the participation of our military units in peacekeeping operations is obligatory. Today, we are taking part in 9 missions, with an average staffing of 445 people. Participation in such operations is a prestige of our state, said Volodymyr Lyshavsky. And with that, we end the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukrainian Radio, English Service.